Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. What up, what up, what up? Welcome to the 1,252nd episode on Purpose Kingdom Network. The 1,252nd episode on Purpose Kingdom Network. I'm your girl, Adrian Misunderstandings Allen. And as always, I take great pleasure in welcoming you to D Block Church. And this is the place for the whosoever wills. And if that is you and this is your first time, welcome. Bring your crew. Tell them. Let's have fun for about an hour. We'll do you for what? An hour tops. Unless y'all get real crazy. Now, if you get real crazy, then we just have to do what we got to do. But God is going to have his way tonight. Now, one thing for sure, two things for certain. If you haven't known about Purpose Kingdom Network, there's something to know about Purpose Kingdom Network. We've been out here. We've been doing this thing. And we are not ashamed to spread the news of the good news of the gospel of Christ. We are not afraid to share the news. We have been doing this thing diligently for the last 4 years, and I'm telling you that in a time like this, you want to be able to be connected to something or somebody or something that's connecting you closer to what God is trying to say so that you can understand what's really going on, because these are the times that you got to pay attention. You got to pay attention. So because we all know that we love God and we understand that there's work that needs to be done, and we understand that it's going to be manifested through us, and we have to regain order in order for us to be able to do this. So there's something that is important that our land needs and is set apart from, you know, we can understand who we are and who we believe in and our Father. So D Block Church, we just call it for the whosoever wills, and that is you. And I'd rather wear it rather proudly, because D Block Church, we have one major thing in common, and that's the blood. The sacrifice shed, that's the blood for me, for you, and me alone is already bad enough. So just imagine the blood. But thanks be to God, who has and will remain the ultimate sacrifice, died. You know, I call it just giving up the ghost. But he just did it. He did it for all of us. And the problem was he was left for dead, then got up. Ha-ha, that's where the conquering comes in. And with all power in his hands. Ooh, child. My bad, y'all. Y'all know. Yeah, it's in the air. It's in the air. Well, if you would like to call in, and I would love for you to join me tonight, 319-527-6091 or 323-870-4174. If you press 1, that tells me that you want to speak, and then all I have to say is just wait for the beep. And, you know, now they're going to put unmuted on there because, you know, they don't want anything to just rhyme and be cute, right? But, I would definitely love to have you. Tonight's topic is simple. I asked the question, what is your motivation? There's a lot of different things that can motivate you. There's a lot of different means of motivation. What I'm finding is that it's really, really hard to understand how, in the age that we are in, that sometimes you can say it to yourself and it still doesn't make sense. So the reason I like to bring things to D Block is so that when the D Block, when, you know, the block is hot, the block is always hot. So yeah, look. Look at your phone, your tablet, your computer, your Facebook, whatever it is, and let it know. Enemy, you can't get through this right now because there's nothing that should block this word. I don't need to be interrupted right now because God is trying to say something to me. And if we realize what it is that we're really trying to get across tonight, the question would really be, what is our motivation? Why do you do what you do? A lot of people say it's for their kids. You know, I got to take care of my kids. I got to take care of my family. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do that. So no matter what it is that the person is doing, they are motivated by caring and the responsibility for their children. So now you have another person that says, but I'm motivated too. And I'm motivated because they messed with me, and I'm telling them they need to watch out because that they don't know who they was messing with. That's a motivation. You know, now, not saying that that's a good motivation because, you know, if you don't have something built on a solid thing, it probably ain't going to last. But, okay, if you out there and you feel that way, get this, tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. Call in. Let's talk about it. Get it out. Just get it out because I really want to know what is motivating everyone to do what they're doing right now. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of people. People are out there fighting for rights, and people are out there doing all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of things that people are doing, but people are doing it because they are being motivated. So the question tonight is, what is your motivation? 319-527-6091. 323-870-4174 is the other number. If you have not already shared this message, start to begin to share this message. How are we going to do this? I'm going to take you all the way back because I'm going to say something to you that shows you why and how things happen and what motivates people. When I was a little girl, like looking back at how I really grew up, you know, like it was different for me, you know. My life was chosen for me because my parents knew that they didn't want something like that to be, they didn't want their children to grow up in the certain particular environment that we were in. So my parents chose to move us away from that environment, right? Here you go. But what is your motivation? I realized that my motivation has always been the fact that I didn't want to actually be there because I always thought that there was a problem because the people that I knew that were over there and did that stuff, they always made me feel bad because of the fact that I had came from that way. So at the end of the day, I realized that my motivation was just motivating myself to make sure that I added up to what people thought. What is your motivation? I know people that will go to work and work all day and work all night, and all they want is the money. They got to get the money. The money looks good. The money feels good. The money is in their pocket, and it just is there. They're not doing anything with the money. They don't even want the money, really. They just want to show the money. But then when they get the money, they understand that then they got it, but now they want more. So what is that motivation? There's so many different ways that you can go about and being motivated. Look at us in this pandemic right now. Us in this pandemic right now is sitting in a completely different place because one, I don't really believe that we should even be moving. I believe that we were really supposed to endure this inside. I believe that we were supposed to endure that unhappy place that we were in. I believe that it was almost a good place to be because it was helping you focus on your motivations of why you got up. What were you doing when you got up, and what were you doing it for? Now it's different. I'm trying to figure out what the motivation is now. Seems like for a lot of us, our motivation is just so that we just don't die. I'm motivated to stay alive, which is one of the dumbest things that I've been hearing people say, but I hate to tell you, people, you are going to be dead way more than you're going to be alive. So I think that the way we live is important. Because what happens to us afterwards is why we live today. What the example is that we are showing to our children is what we're going to see and have in the future. So what is your motivation? Can you look down at the kids now? I pray to God that everybody has now paid attention a little bit more to their kids. They found out that the kid can read, or he excels in this, or he needs help in that. They have found that the kid can't sit down for work for more than 3 minutes. And it ain't the teacher that's telling you this. It's you now. Everybody, what is our motivation? We have children that we ain't even paying attention to. Huh. I lost mine. Mine's already 20 years old. He's a grown man. What was the motivation? You got to understand that when we're in the down, when we're in that spot, when we're in that hollow, when we're in the place where that place of isolation, that place where people really aren't there. They're just not there. I'm not talking about the person that is sitting in the crowded room and is not there. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the person that is actually staying by themselves. They are the recluse. They are by themselves. They want to be by themselves. They pray that you don't come and sit real close to them because they want to be by themselves. Their motivation. Do they have any? Or do they just not care about the next person because they don't care to share whatever it is that they have because they don't want anyone to be near? I just think that, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I need to start at the beginning. And like I said, I was born and, you know, it was just what it was. My brother came and the whole thing, you know, my parents just was like, fine. So we moved a little bit outside of the city now, and I'm not really sure exactly how everything went down, but I know that the place that we moved was not apparently the place that we were supposed to move. And now what I mean by that is, yes, if you don't know by listening to me, I am an African-American, and my family is of African-American descent. And I guess apparently at that time there was a list or whatever, or the, you know, when the properties are available. Like they say now that there's a list. They say that there's a list that is available where they want the black people to sit. So they want them to reside in this area. So they kind of, you know, realtors kind of gear African-Americans towards this type of area. So, I mean, and it's probably not because of any other thing, but because they're African-American and they're it's lower income or whatever the case may be, didn't move on the list, basically. My mom drove all around and found another house and said, I want that one. The people looked at her dumbfounded. She said, no, I want that one. They said, no, but you really don't want that. She said, no, I want that one. And they said, no, I don't think, ma'am, you really don't want that. She said, I want that one. Little did we know that our neighbors like burned crosses. I mean, damn. Excuse me for saying it like that, but it's how real this is for me because I'm watching something happen that my family dealt with, but there was a way that we dealt with it that it didn't really stick and affect me in the manner that I think it maybe should for some, but I'm just trying to figure out if there's a way that we can get past it for most and get through it. So apparently when the list comes out, you buy the thing or whatever, and my mom did different. So now it's different. Now how long will it take for the world to actually see that, you know, this is like back in the 80s. My brother was born in the 80s, okay? So they were doing that in the 80s. So I can only imagine what they're doing now. And then now, you know, the people are, like they said, the gentrification, they're building homes that are more expensive. Like everybody is struggling more, and now they build bigger houses for what? I guess so that what? So that people can move out or people can leave or whatever the case may be, if it is not motivated in the right way, it really may not stand a chance. And the reason why I'm saying that like that is because we're experiencing like a shift in the world. And it's funny because I had a teacher, Dr. Kenyatta, stood on his head stage and cussed a whole audience of us out about the modern school system and this shift that was going to happen. And that African-American people were not going to be ready for because they weren't paying attention to something, something, and they don't have the underground bunkers and all that. And we were just thinking that Doc was just all the way, you know, Doc was doing what Doc do, getting our attention so he could, you know, have our attention. Doc was serious. Oh, Doc was serious. I learned a lot from Doc. I learned a lot from Doc because Doc looked at me and seen my upbringing and seen the fight. He seen the fight that wasn't even a fight for me because I didn't even know. So anybody that's out there that thinks that not giving your children the information or keeping your kids from something or, you know, protecting them from what is going on instead of explaining it to them, like you're really doing your child harm. You're not doing them any good. You're doing them harm because when they get older and they see it, they're not ever going to hear what you said about it. So it's not going to work right. And unfortunately, I had to live a life like that. And because of the fact that I now get a chance to have a blog talk radio show, look, thank God, Purpose Kingdom Network is here, and Purpose Kingdom Network said that we are going to stand for something. So it was like a motivation. What were we motivated in? We weren't motivated in the money. We weren't motivated in the fame. We weren't motivated in knowing us. But we were motivated in the world knowing who Jesus was. We need the world to know who Christ is. Until we get to that one final stage, like that's the first nugget. Like everybody can have meetings about meetings until you get to the point. You can have a meeting about a meeting until you get to the point. So every time you have the meeting about the meeting, it's the same thing that you went through in the meeting. You somewhere down the line, someone has to bring up the point. And then when you bring up the point, you bring up the solution. It's like a problem and then a solution. All the other stuff has to die. That's the hardest part about what's going on right now in this world. Nobody wants to die. What is our motivation? If you look at me, okay, I went to college, I did probably any and everything, and things that I shouldn't have did, I did, and the things that I wouldn't have did, I did, and the things that I probably shouldn't have wanted and couldn't have did, and you'd never want anybody else to do, I did. But I had to walk with that. I had to talk with that. Then I had to grow up with that. So it was different for me because in the world that I lived in, it was there was a motivation that was going on, and it was a kind of weird motivation because you really didn't know. Because I grew up in church, so you got to understand that growing up in church, I liked church. Church was fun for me, and when I say church, I mean church, the building. You know how in 2020 we can't say the church because you know, the people at the church. Listen here, everybody with a definition, walk with me, go back with me just for a second. Church. Remember church? When you walked in, I hate to tell you, but when the lady give you the look, she giving you the look because she remember what she used to look like. She's looking at you in it. She's enjoying you in it and just got a sour face because things in her life ain't right. That ain't got nothing to do with you, but that's what she gonna do to you. But you gotta love her. Because she might drop an omen on you just walking by. That's church. Somebody walking up to you and say, hey, I'm just going to give you an encouraging word. I saw you today, and it was awesome. You know, you look great. Something like that. That church. That's the church I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fellowship. And let me be real, because we are on the air, and I want to shout out to a very, very special man, Mr. Earl. When I tell you that Mr. Earl just received his wings, y'all. And the reason why I can tell you that Mr. Earl received his wings, it was almost like he smiled and waved and was like, I'm just happy. This is it right here. And when I tell you that it was one of the most joyous moments, like it was in depth, but it was a joyous moment, because at the end of the day, you live life to enjoy it, and then you'd want to die. And when you close your eyes, you want to be able to say that you did it. You did it that way. It's funny, you did it my way. You did it the way that you needed to do it. But you have to understand that no matter how you do what you do, there has to be a motivation. And when you realize that the motivation has to be stuck in the right direction, then we start to realize that maybe we should slow up. Maybe I should really think about, what am I motivated for? Am I really doing this? Why am I doing this? Is there a reason why I need to stop doing this? Like, all of us will lose and we'll win in the end. All of us will lose and we'll win in the end. Think that, let's see, the number one question that I find it hard to believe, right, is, how things that are being revealed during this pandemic are like reshaping the world as we know it. Like, why is it that when the people say that we're sick, okay, boss, we're sick, I get it. So now we're really sick. So now everybody is really sick. People are dying, and I understand that. God rest anybody's soul that is passing. My prayer for everyone is, I hope you need to know Jesus. That's the best thing I could tell you, because at the end of the day, if we are dropping and we are dying like that, it's good that you know Jesus. Okay? Mr. Earl knew Jesus. We had conversations about it, because I know this for a fact, because at the beginning, he wasn't even feeling Jesus. It wasn't even a matter, because at the end of the day, you can live your life and not have to worry about these things. But the truth of the matter is, you still have to be motivated in a heart of something that says, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for them. I'm doing this for later. I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for my generations. I'm doing this for the next. I'm doing this for the next. You know, it's like it's almost like sowing. Well, it is like sowing, actually, but you're sowing into the fact that you know something. And so because you know it, it's like, okay. Right? But I learned that as a kid. Why? Because living in Abington with, you know, I mean, Abington was tough. And the reason why I say Abington was tough, because, well, our mascot, I tell people that all the time, our mascot was the Galloping Ghost. And I mean, he was life-size. He was a life-size man on a life-size horse with a real sheet, and it didn't have no, it had a point. And they called that the Galloping Ghost. And I guess that's what it might have been. But lo and behold, let me tell you, what happens when you stand up for something? You say, no, it won't happen. You make them understand exactly what it is and who it is that you are, and it doesn't happen. You stand in a manner, and you hold yourself in a manner, and you present yourself in a manner that, no, it doesn't happen. And if it does, it is handled like it should. If you're out there tonight and you are trying to figure out exactly the motivation, what is your motivation? I encourage you to please call in 319-527-6091 or 323-870-4174. When we were kids, we grew up, okay, so in the area that I grew up in, it was kind of different because we were really the only African-American family there for a while, and I remember that because, like, I went to a parade like it was a 4th of July parade, and I met this black kid. And I was like, ah, mommy, I met the black kid. It was crazy. But y'all have to really walk with me on this because I really walked through that, and I lived through that. But, however, we definitely became cousins, and we, you know, went through. We ended up making it all the way through. But, you know, once you get into the junior high, you mix in with everybody else. So now you got everybody in the same school. So my friends that I used to have, maybe not all my friends now, but now I have other friends. I can make other friends, but now the communities are together. So there's another community that has African Americans in it. So now we meet all these different people. I'm like, whoa, I like it here, right? So it's like we grew up together. And I ain't going to lie, I had a harder time from the black people asking me why I talk like them and why I was with them and all these other questions. Like, why are you over there? Why are you, like, why am I over here? Like, why are you not over here with me? That was always my question. Why are you not over here with me? And still to this day, I can ask the same question. And that is why I asked you tonight, what is your motivation? It can't be on getting our children to a place where it was where we were when we were kids, where we actually went to the doctor's office and actually played with the blocks and stuff in the middle of the floor and tried to, you know, do ballies and stuff up the scales and everything. I know I'm, like, bothering so many people right now because you guys are in the COVID and there's, like, no nothing. We're never going to be ready. We're never going to be right again. We're never going to do this. We're going to wear masks forever. Like, nobody has just sat and just said, you know, I'm putting this mask on because I know y'all sick. Look, put your mask on because you know the people are sick and you don't want to get it. That's why I wear my mask. I don't know about anybody else. I wear my mask so that I don't get sick from all the people because the people is sick. If you carry yourself in that manner, then you ask yourself, what is your motivation? I just don't want to be sick, okay? It's not that you don't want to be over near people. It's that you don't want to be sick. So now you have to figure it out, okay? So I can be near people if I do it properly and, you know, and keep myself, you know, properly, what's that word, like, decontaminated and be able to, like, coexist with it and everything, then it might work. But nah, we got to get past that, y'all. We got to go back to the fact that our kids are really going to be all right. This is going to work if we actually focus on it a little bit and figure out what is our motivation. Because right now I believe that we are motivated on silly. We're motivated by hate about silly, about the man. That he's just silly. And it's like because of the fact that he's so silly, it's almost to the point where, see, I think it's like in 1 Peter where it says, like, you got to be careful of the devil. And you got to be careful of the wounds of the devil. You got to know how the devil works. So when I look at the thing, I'll be upset because I'm sitting there thinking, all right, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm tripping. But it just seems as if we've been getting played with and baited into different situations. And people are playing with people's emotions, and it's really not cool. It's not fun. It's not fair. And they don't really have to do it. People should come to the table. People should have real conversations, and they should be able to have real change. And it should take all of us to do it. Why? Because we should be motivated to make it better for our baby. That should be our motivation, to leave it better than we have it now. And I believe if we honestly look at where we are now, and then give ourselves, 10 years? I'm not even going to say that. Think of 5 years. What do we look like in 5 years? Yeah, we can't keep doing this. One thing for sure, two things for certain, you don't get anything done trying to figure out what you can get because of what somebody did. that never works. That's just like in the whole situation of whatever, you know, that, like, it just doesn't work. I know that it does, it's not fair and it don't sound right and everything, but in order for us to move forward with it, someone is going to have to be the bigger. Someone is going to have to do it. And unfortunately, I know for a fact that certain people don't like the bend. That's why they change rules and change laws and all types of stuff to keep you under and make sure that you don't do what you do. And then, like, you know, now they playing. It's a play now. I just heard the other day something about there's they're talking about the mail-in ballot and how it's so bad and all this. Now he's talking about the mail-in ballot is bad. That means he's scared. Like, so anything, listen, when you see it getting all kinds of crazy and you could just imagine, I just look at the devil like he's just trying to stop you from getting to your prize. And your prize is like tomorrow. All you got to do is wake up, you know? All you got to do is start tomorrow and you start breathing and it's done. You've already conquered it. It's already over. But the thing about it is, what are you motivated to do? I realize that my problem is that I like to do everything that I do in church, in the building, like, you know, giving back, using your talents and all that kind of stuff. I never realized that I needed to take it and be selfish and just make money. I never realized that that's what I have to do. In 2020, with the church, you know, the building that we go to fellowship and with the people. That's what the building has done. The building said, no, we don't even need to do it. Anybody's building that's not open, y'all better know it's supposed to be open. As simple as that. There wasn't a church going on. There was other things going on. And now we need to figure it out. Because we're not going to keep sitting here and sitting here and sitting here and let things go and not talk about real issues. Like, the only problem right now that we have in this world is that people don't know who Jesus is. Isa, Yeshua, excuse me, because I don't want anybody to get offended or anything, but we need to know. Right now is not the time for offense. Right now is the time for understanding. And when we understand, we can do what we need to do. And we'll do what we need to do the way that we need to do for who we need to do it for. And we will do it together. And then the ways that we don't come together is the thing that keeps us together. See, we got to understand what's going on this thing. Anything that's tearing you apart, anything that's making you mad, anything that's pissing you off is really not going to drive you the right way. So then you have to ask yourself, what are you really motivated on? Because if you get mad, it don't matter. Once you get to that point, and it's like, you know what, I don't even care anymore because I'm just going to, I used to call it an effort bucket. Bucket. That was, I'm going to just call it like that. It was a button. Once you push that button, that's it. Everybody has one. They say that once you push it, it's over. They don't care about the consequences. They don't care. I've never met people like this. I have, but I haven't, because at the end of the day, there's something that I learned when I was a kid, and we really weren't even allowed to fight. There was a thing. And it's messed up because when your parents tell you don't fight, you know that when everybody try to fight. Everybody want to fight because you said, "But don't fight because you look like you the chump. You look like you the one that gets picked on because you don't fight." But the difference of it is if you really don't fight, then that means that you're motivated in something else, even in the midst of a trial. So the question really tonight is, what are you motivated? What is your motivation? When we were young, it was, what was the commercial? What is my motivation? I remembered it. It was always so funny. Now, how much can we do before things get really, 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 really out of hand and crazy? We need to tell the truth. We need to say where we failed. We need to say where it did not come right. We didn't do it right. we did not keep this up enough so that we could stay motivated in it. Or, like, I really don't know. I don't know what we have to do, because what we have to do is just somebody having to give it up. And that's the truth. And once we be able to do that, then we can move on to what it is that we really need to do, and that's the healing of our land. Because right now, the only thing that's going to heal us is Christ. So if nobody is talking about him, that means that they are not actually trying to heal us at all. Yeah, I hear what Fauci and them is saying, and that's good. Go on and get your medicine, because, you know, that's what they say. They say, people say, take your medicine, take your medicine. Doctors say, take your medicine, take your medicine. But I'm going to let you know there's some medicine that everybody needs to get, and it comes in the form of blood. And I'm not talking about the plasma that is saving the coronavirus, that is saving corona victims, but I'm talking about the blood and the sacrifice of Christ. Why? Because God loved us, and he needed us to understand that we were too precious and valuable to just not get it. So today, if you're still in a place where it's not all coming together, take pride in knowing that that's the place that you're supposed to be in. Take pride in knowing that right now, in that moment, you should be able to take a breath and embrace whatever it is that God is giving you in that moment. And then ask God, what is it that you're saying to me in this moment? And then what I had to learn, after you ask, you got to listen. And it's funny, because the alone part, this isolation thing, I've been doing this thing for years. And the reason why I've been doing it is, listen, when you do things and you lose your motivation and you forget what it is that you were supposed to be doing, or the road that you were supposed to be traveling, and you lose focus, or you meet the wrong people, or whatever the case may be, I just believe that it's all driven by motivation. Because at one time or another, I was motivated, but I was motivated to be like, I'm not really sure where I was motivated to be. It's actually embarrassing, but I guess, you know, I was motivated. I was motivated to be absolutely nothing. And it absolutely did not manifest. And I can thank God, because God told me, well, no, I don't want them to know you like that. Simple as that. I didn't understand what it meant. I still really, really don't put it like all the way in words, but I definitely know that I'm not out here doing something that would hurt somebody for the rest of their life. And right now, the way that we're living, the way that we're handling situations, the way that we're talking to people, the way that we're not talking to people, it's really effective. It's affecting, I should say. It's affecting our world. It's affecting how we handle situations. You have to ask yourself, why? What is motivating me to do this? Why am I standing here? Why am I doing this? Am I doing this because I think I'm supposed to do it? Am I doing this because they say I'm supposed to be here and this is what it is? Or am I doing this because this is what God is telling me to do? I realize that if God is not telling you to do it, you probably shouldn't even be doing it. I have an issue, because I don't want to do it for anything but the good of the glory of God. I just want to smile and make the world happy. And I'm not allowed to do that. And in the world that we live in, that should not be. That means that we are lacking in that's positivity. That's not good. So as much as we're saying that we're doing whatever we're doing, what is the motivation? Like I just heard, matter of fact, I'm gonna tell you exactly what this topic, where this topic came from. This topic came from the fact that there is now a coalition to raise 10,000 new voters. They want people to vote. And I'm sure they do. But the thing is, they're asking the people to vote, but then they're telling the people that we want you to vote so you can get Trump out. No. What is the motivation? Because now it goes to choose the question. Are you motivated to get Donald Trump out of the office, or are you motivated to just get the world settled? You know what I mean? Are we, you know, what are we supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to be moving to, I'm sorry, y'all. Are we supposed to be, going to one place? Or are we supposed to be staying where we are? Or are we supposed to be choosing another spot? Or we just realize that wherever we go, God is going to tell us to go, and then you move. You don't move until he says it, it'll be all right. If you stop moving when you move, then everything will work. Everything will work. Trust me, I'm learning. I think I'm only talking about it tonight because it was something that came real to me, because not being in church has left a void in my life. And I realized that the void in my life that is missing is all of my matriarchs or my patriarchs that, you know, I never really had in my life. Like, I didn't know my grandparents. So I treat everybody's grandparents with the utmost of everything, because as far as I'm concerned, I would have loved to have a grandmom, Nana, as in Tori, a Dante, and all that. I would have loved to have it, a Big G and a Nana, you know. I would have loved it. I could have just imagined all the different things that, you know, I would have learned and all the different things that we could have done. But I'm not saying that the way I was raised was bad. But now, you know, I look forward to seeing the people that hold me accountable for being who I said that I'm supposed to be, you know, for me being diligent in my word and studying and showing up and doing the things that I say and being committed. That's church. That's a piece that we're missing. Like, that's the motivation. When you get into the motivation of why you want to do something, then you use those people as your anchors and your they always going to drop something. I don't know. I don't know anybody that is over the age of, I would say that anybody that's over the age of 70. No, I'm going to give you 80. Anybody over the age of 80 that is not dropping, like, just straight whatever they drop is like soil. It's just like seed. Like, you just want to be in. Like, give it to me. We might not understand it at the moment. I'm realizing that the closer and closer and closer I get into the word, then I realize how real these people really are, like how real the Bible is. I've been saying it to my mom for so long. Like, I never ever would imagine ever that the Bible would have just came full out. Like, I mean, there's been things that I've seen in this Bible that have happened in real life. Like, I mean, you want to talk about persecuted. I mean, I have been sent out. I don't even know if I ever told y'all that story when I got kicked out the church, put in the damn Uber, talking about get out the church. Like, now, see, that's the kind of church that's when you think that, okay, wait, hold on. You want me to do what? Oh, you put me in an Uber to get out of the church? That's why you're still closed. Oh, that's not church. We didn't do it that way. God said no. Because at the end of the day, and I'm going to tell you something, when you're dealing with the megas of the churches, they have so much land, there's no way in the world that people should not be able to have their picnic stuff outside and the loudspeaker be on in the church and all the facility be just camped out like somebody else would do if they wanted to do something. Because when people want to do stuff, they do it. They make all the different types of means to get it done. And that's what God did. And God did the same thing, the same way that you believe that you could do what you want to do, how you want to do it. He knew it. He knew it. That's exactly why he said, let me do it the way that I need to do it. I need to be born. I need to be born of flesh. And just like it said, I'm into this prophecy thing now coming true because I hate to say it like that, but it was never like that for me. It was never there. But God puts you right in front of things, and he makes you really be accountable, and he makes you really stand, and he really makes you, like, you got to give up something in order to get what God is trying to give. The problem is, what are you motivated to give? Most people would want to give the thing that they don't want, or, you know, the thing that was in the trash or whatever. But I'm talking about a great gift. You know, this is good. This is better than anything that you would ever do. And he did it. He did it for all of us. He walked it. He talked it. He taught. You know, he told stories. And the thing is, he didn't actually tell anybody anything. He always just told stories and put you into the place so that you could figure it out. That's where we need to be. Because in the world that we live in today, if you do not have a personal relationship with God, then there really, I don't want to say there's no hope for you, because there's always going to be hope, because anytime you have breath, you can always change your mind. But as long as somebody has told you about what God can do, how God can do it, and then shown you how you can get what they're talking about, that's when you make the decision and you ask, what is my motivation? Your motivation is so that you can have, so you can live eternally with God, so that you can see the people that you've lost one more time, so you can laugh and joke with the people that have gone on as they laugh at you as you still live and tried. But I ask you today, if you do not know God and you do not know how much he loved you and you do not know Yeshua, Easter, Jesus, you do not know the story, you don't know how it went, you don't know about the sacrifice, you don't know about the blood, you don't know about the grave. And then he got up. That was it. That's the conquer. A lot of people get caught up in the blood. Now I'm like, yeah, okay, I get you on the blood. It is the blood, because the blood is your sin. And a lot of people can't get past the sin. So if you can't get past the sin, then it's the blood. But if you ask God to really come into your life, he's coming in. And when he comes in, he's coming in like a storm. Look, he's coming in, not like a storm, excuse me. He's coming in like a lamb, quiet and sleek, like to be comforting to you. But if you feel like you need to be wrapped, I offer God as a comforter. Christ is the comforter. He came for all of us. He came to heal. He came to heal. Look at that. Heal. And that is what he will do. But it's going to take me. It's going to take you. It's going to take us at least knowing that our motivation is on one thing, and that is the sun. That is the sun. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. And if you're out there and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, I would say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and save me, a sinner. Cleanse me. Give me new opportunity to see you and how much you desire for me to be all that you've intended for me to be. God, I love you. God, I thank you. And God, I look forward to the rest of my life with you. Amen. Now, if you said something like that or somewhere in the, you know, area of that, then that's good. What I know is that you have to be sincere. In these times, in these days, if you ain't real, we don't even need you. I'm telling you like that. If you're not helping, if you're not doing what you need to do, I think you might be just, you know, I'm not even sure, in the way. If you're not out there wearing your mask, you know, you are just, like, in the way. So, what is it? It's about the 50 mark, so I guess we can bring on the announcements now if we'd like to. I'm not really sure who's coming. If Brother Rob is on the air or if Chap is still there. Chap, you know, you always can come on and do the finesse, if you'd like to finesse them. A little bit of the finesse.
Okay. All right, real quickly, I'm going to come on and do the announcements. This is the Project Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode, whether you're calling us on the phone or you're listening via internet. We just thank you and appreciate your listenership and your support here for us at Purpose Kingdom Network. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. You can also just share that you've turned your life over to Christ, and we'll gladly share the news. With that being said, you can also go to like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And we're also on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose. If you'd like to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom, where you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. With God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for the Nate Miller Boxing Hour. So once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us for the Nate Mr. Miller Boxing Hour at 9 p.m. tomorrow right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And please feel free to invite and tell a friend. With that being said, that's going to be the end of the announcements, and I'm going to hand the show back over to Sister Adrian.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. We just got to be in this thing. And if you're going to be in it, then you have to ask yourself, what am I in it for? And if you're in it for something good, something for it to come out good, then that's great. If you're in it because you don't want someone to win, or you don't like this person, or you don't like something that they did, or whatever, those are the things that you got to give to God. Those are the things that you ask Christ to come in and, like, cleanse them so that you can be on equal and solid ground when you have your conversation, because there is no one less than anyone in God's eyes. And if anyone feels that way, they should not. Because if you know God, then you know that he loves you and you are the apple of his eye. He has a purpose for you that he has intended for you to get. And as long as you stay where you are and steady, ask those questions, what is this moment saying to me right now in this day? What is this moment saying to me right now in this day? I'm looking at this moment now, but I can't think about what happened yesterday, because if I think about what happened yesterday, today, my reaction may not be this. It may not be understood. So what we want to do now is we're really going Christ in this thing. We're going to the point where we need to have a word that said, so that someone can understand that when he gets back, it's going to be too late. So stop walking past people. Like anybody that's out there and you're listening to me and you're wearing your mask and you wear your mask and you don't talk to anybody, stop. Come out of your mask. If you don't start using your shoulder, you have a shoulder to shoulder. You should be using the arc of the rainbow to speak to people. Everybody that comes into your contact should still be able to feel your presence from your shoulder to your shoulder in the arc of the rainbow. Anybody that calls themselves a believer that is sitting behind a mask and just breathing and not saying a word, you need to check it and ask yourself, what am I motivated? What is my motivation? Is this a good thing? Am I really trying not to stay? Am I trying to be safe or am I trying to be rude? Am I trying to be friendly with my mask so that people can feel you, they can see it in your eyes? Or are you a person that is walking around just like the rest of the world, stuck because we're in this COVID and we don't see the light? We can't plan anything for 2 weeks from now because, God forbid, we're talking about next year. You know? I don't know how long we're going to do it before we put God in it, right? I'm just waiting for the churches to kind of like join together and just do one big, not right now, Satan. Because if we have the kingdom authority to do what we need to do, how about, it doesn't even matter if we have an airborne disease walking around, if you're covered. The reason why I say that is because at the end of the day, you might think that what is going on is so bad that you stop walking. So then you have to ask yourself, what is your motivation? Because you want to be able to remember, don't stop walking. No matter what it starts to look like and how things start to come, you have to ask yourself, what is my motivation? Don't stop walking. Why am I still in the same place that I am? Because you're doing something, and every time you get to that spot, you're doing it, and then you do it wrong. He applauds you when you do it right. Every day, keep growing, keep growing, keep sowing, keep growing, keep growing, but you got to be motivated. Ask yourself, what is my motivation? Every day, what is my motivation? I noticed that some people, like, I hate social media. For anybody that's listening and you know social media and you think you can help me, I would love for anybody to help me, please. Like, if I got to pay you, I mean, listen, holler at your girl, because I would love social media to be my friend, because I know that social media is where y'all live. But see, I'm a real person, right? So your 30,000 people and followers and likes to my 300 people that I know and touch and can laugh and joke with very, very well, like, I choose my 300. It's just me. I mean, I grew up different. So I know that everybody is grasping and changing and adapting and everything. And that's good, because change is good and all that. But you got to remember that God is in front. So we got to be motivated in Him. We got to know what it is that we're doing so that we can be all right. We're doing it. Because if we don't know who we're doing it for, or why we're doing it, or why He told us to do these things, or why He's making us to do them, then we're really not helping anyone. And then when you don't know, and then you're sitting at a meeting, and then they don't know, and they sitting at the same meeting, now you all sitting at the meeting and don't nobody know. But nobody wants to ask the question to the people that do know, because then that means that they would have to say that they don't know, and then that would put them in another predicament. Do you understand what I'm talking about, where it says that if you're motivated in the right thing, all that stuff would cease? All that stuff would be shut. When I realized that my church wasn't opening back up, I went into strong prayer, because that meant to me that everything that I felt in that building was true. Every nasty person that I felt in that building was true. And it wasn't even so much that there was the fact that it was nasty. It's the fact that nobody cares enough to want to call on him to get it off. Because when you don't believe that it's something wrong, you'll never fix it. So if you're not worried about fellowship because you'd rather not deal with people, then you have to ask yourself, what is your motivation? What is your motivation? Why do we sit and talk the way that we talk? Because we be motivated to do it, whatever it may so shall be. I ask you tonight on D Block Church, from the bottom of my heart, let's get motivated on God. Let's get motivated on doing this thing the way we need to do this thing. Can't we be tired yet? Can't this thing be over? And I hate to tell you, we're going to have to be the bigger. We'll talk about it. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. You know I love you. Stay safe.
Jesus led.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose.
set me free. I will not lose. Never wanna see me down. I will not lose.